Good evening and welcome to our Sunday evening service here at Romford Baptist Church. I'm Vicky, I'm one of the ministers here, and another of the ministers, Ian, will be sharing in God's word with us later on this evening. Lamentations 3 and verse 23 reminds us, because of the great Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We are here tonight to worship and to sing our praises to God, to be reminded of just God's love and his mercy and his compassion. And actually, however we're feeling, whatever we think is going on in our own lives, actually we have so much to give thanks to God for. And we're going to do that as we sing our first hymn, O Lord My God. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for that wonderful reminder of your faithfulness to us. We thank you for the fact that wherever we are, in whatever part of the world and creation in which we live, we can come to you and see your hand at work in creation, in our lives, as we look around our world and realize that you always care, you always are ready to hear from us. Lord, we give you our thanks and our praise. We give you that heart worship to you this evening as we come and declare your might, your majesty, your value and your worth. Lord God, as we think tonight about our theme of light and your creation of our world, we thank you that you are indeed God who holds all these things in your hands. Father God, we praise you, we worship you, we adore you, and we give you our hearts and all of ourselves in our worship to you this evening. Amen. We are going to read a few verses from that very well-known passage from Revelation 1. And as we think about our theme tonight of creation, and particularly focusing in on that day where God separated the night and dark with the creation of the sun and the moon, we are reminded from Revelation 1 of the words that John wrote all those years ago. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. And his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me, and he said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. And it's that God who we are worshipping in our own homes or wherever we find ourselves this evening. It's that God who we can join with all of heaven and declare him indeed the first and the last, the living one, the one who was at the beginning of creation and will be there at that moment when once again we can worship him. All heaven declares. Those last words that are uttered by anyone are always words that are often remembered, sometimes not necessarily for the right reasons. But the words that were spoken by David that we can find in 2 Samuel 23 are words that remind us of our great God. It says this, The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise, on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. When we think about the last words of Jesus, where we are commissioned to go out into all the world to be that light in our dark world, we are reminded of just that responsibility, but also of the everlasting nature of Jesus's words, not only to his disciples, but to us too. And then we are reminded of our God, the God who is like the light in the morning and it's been a dark old night. And we wake up and find that the sun is out and the sky is blue and we can look up and give our thanks and praise. God, it is God to whom we give our thanks and praise for the creation in which we live. And we're going to continue as we sing the splendor of the King. We're going to give our praise to God, to our King, who is indeed full of splendor, full of majesty, full of the need for us to worship. The program continues with its Sunday morning service live in the building, as well as our evening services, which we broadcast online. And then there's the opportunity to gather again by pre-booking, as you do for the Sunday morning, in the church on Wednesdays at 12:45 for a half hour, just a short time where we can come and worship through responses and familiar words and through our prayers, as we come and in the middle of our day and give our worship to God. Tuesdays we continue with our prayer meetings, and Wednesday we're continuing with character course. And if you've not yet joined in, it's not too late. Do make sure you join in. For others, whether you are the 18 to 30s group where you've got journeys on Tuesday evening, or whether it is one of our young people, and whether you're joining now on a Sunday morning, as the details in the notice sheet, or whether you're engaging with the other activities that are happening online for those who are younger, we continue to just know that we can choose to get engaged, and God is with us each and every day. We also continue to say thank you for all the prayers, at all the offerings that have come in. And as we think about what we give, whether it's in financial terms or in our prayers for one another, in our phone calls with one another, where we are seeking to be God in our world to those that we know, and to those perhaps who don't know of him, but who know that we are a believer of God, we can offer God so much. We do that in a way through our giving, in whatever form that comes. But thank you if you are continuing to give week by week. Let's pray now. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we can give in so many ways, but particularly right now we give you thanks for our financial giving, for the different ways that that comes, but because, Lord, it is being used not just here in this place and in this town and in this community, but, Lord, across our world. And we thank you that we can continue to give out of what we have, recognizing that for some that their circumstances have changed, but, Lord, that they are still faithful in their giving, recognizing that you are faithful to us too. And we thank you that your faithfulness outgives all that we give to you. And for that, we thank you. Amen. Maybe as we continue to think what we can offer to God, we will do that as we sing along or listen to our next song, Great is the Lord. Let us pray. And Father, as we think about our world, and as we think about our focus for tonight, which is how you created the heavens and the earth and the light and separated the light from darkness, we pray that we may be light in our dark world. Father God, in our dark world, where people are trafficked, where people are kept in slavery, even in towns and countries like our country here, as well as across our world, Father God, we pray for each and every person who is facing misery as a result of what they find themselves, of their trafficking situation, of the slavery in which they find themselves. We pray, Lord, that where they are right now, they will know a sense of your peace and your presence. And we thank you for the agencies who particularly are working to try and break the chains and to set people free. We particularly remember the work of the Salvation Army in all that they do, but Lord, too, of the many other organisations involved in such a situation. And Father God, if we turn a blind eye, forgive us and help us to be your light in such dark situations. And Lord, we pray too for those parts of our world which face corruption and injustice. Father God, we may live in a land that we feel is a land of freedom and a land where we can worship you. But Lord, there are people who face injustice, even within our own setting. There are people who are out to get what they want, even at the cost of others. And so, Father God, in this dark world where people are being hurt, let your light shine, we pray. And Lord, we think about our world that's so often filled with hatred. Hatred for one another, bitterness because of relationship breakdown, physical fighting where people are hurting one another. We think of those situations perhaps where domestic violence or abuse is taking place. Father God, we live in such a dark and sad world where bloodshed seems to count for nothing and lives are extinguished in the flash of an eye or the flash of a hand and a knife or a gun. And Father, this isn't the world that you created. This isn't the world where you wanted us to live one with another in harmony. And so, Father God, we pray, let your light shine in those places where there is hatred and fighting and bloodshed and violence. And Father God, as we think about the dark world in which we live, we think about those who are hungry, those who have little. We recognize that in our country and even within our town, there is a division between those who have and those who have not. Father God, so much of that comes out of our own selfishness. So much of it is out of what is in our hearts. Looking after number one, looking after ourselves, and yet, Lord, that's not the way you created us to be. We thank you, Lord, for the generosity of people who give to the food bank and for those who look to serve in that way. Lord, we thank you for the generosity of all of those for whom they seek to make a difference through what they can offer in their time or in their financial situation. But Lord, we recognize that in this dark world, we need your light to shine, we pray. And in the dark world of fear and of addiction and of imprisonment and that feeling of pointlessness, we pray for your spirit to break through. We pray for a bursting forth from the prisons that they are holding them. Be that their fears and their worries, be that our addictions, be that the things that hold us fast. Father God, even as Christians, we can be bound up by our worries and our fears for the future. Lord, break through, we pray. Help us to turn our eyes back to you. Help us as your people to seek to reach out to those around us who are struggling themselves. Help us to be a beacon of hope. In this dark world, let your light shine, we pray. Father God, we pray for those of us who know of you, who seek to be your light, who seek to bring hope into the world and into the lives of those that we meet up with day by day, simply because you are part of our lives. You are our focus and our center. Help us, Lord, to bring your hope into those situations, to be your hands of healing and of ministry and of service. Father God, when we struggle, we pray for restoration and for forgiveness where we need it. We pray, Lord, for ourselves. We pray, Lord, for those who we can see on our notice sheet and for those who are heavy in our heart. That, Lord, even as your followers, we can bow down. And, Father God, we pray for your intervention, for your cutting through, for your light to shine and to lead us into a different way, into a new way, into a pathway that you are showing us and that you want us to follow. Father God, we pray for all of us. Whatever our situation and whatever burdens we are carrying, we can turn back to you and recognize that your light brings hope and new beginnings. And a forgiveness from the past, Lord, for those who need comfort, for those who need healing, for those who need your peace. Father God, draw close, we pray. And we ask all of these things in your loving namesake, who taught us to say the words that you taught your disciples to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our reading this evening is from Genesis chapter 1. And it's the whole of Genesis chapter 1. Words that will be very familiar to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." And so God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And the land produced vegetations, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it, according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth, across the vault, above the earth, across the vault of the sky." And so God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath in it, I give every plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. As we come to, in a moment, hear God's word from Ian, we sing once more. That reminder, again, of Jesus who left the heavens and came down to earth. The earth that he was involved in creating. The earth and the world which we've just heard about as we sing, Light of the World, You Step Down.
Good evening. It's good to be here. Thank you, Vicky, for leading the earlier part of this service. Tonight we're beginning a new series in our evening services, which will take place over the next 7 weeks. And in this service, we are focusing in on the first of this series of creation. 7 days of creation, we will do seven services. And tonight, our service is around that first verse in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're going to look at the whole theme of light that was created on that first day. And so, if you have a Bible, look at Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, the writer makes that manifest claim in those first four words of the Bible, setting the scene for the whole of the Bible. And those first four words are simply, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. There was never a time when God was not. God has always been and God always will be. He talks about, the Bible talks about him being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Yet, in the beginning, before heavens and earth, before anything existed, God was. And God, after all this world departs, God still will be. God is beyond time. He is before all things. He is after all things. And he is not limited to time as we are. There was never a point when God did not exist. And therefore, in our worship, we worship the omnipotent, omnipresent God. We give him our glory and our power, recognizing that he was before all things, and in him creation took place. Something that's very hard to get our minds around, because we want to go back to a beginning of time. We want to go back to a time when everything started, but that does not exist in God. It does not say in the beginning God was created. It says in the beginning God created. God was the creator, the one who brought this together. And so right at the beginning of this service, in this series of creation, we need to focus in on a God who is beyond time and in whom all things hold together. Often our struggle and our problem is we try to limit God by our understanding. We try to make God fit our worldview. And we live in a very much a time-driven life. I was born in such and such year, and now is such and such year, so I will be this old. And you can't imagine there was something before you were. Yet you know there was, because there was your parents, your grandparents. You know the history of what went before. In the beginning, though, God created. Nothing created God, but God created. And in these first two verses, we read how God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God created the heavens and the earth. Of course, our struggle is with the theories of evolution versus faith and the creation story, which is true. And we seem to want to always alienate one against the other. And, you know, it doesn't say God created on a such and such a day. It just says in the beginning God created. And we don't know how he created, and with scientists are going back and looking into black holes and big bangs and all those sorts of things. God could be doing all those sorts of things. We just do not know. And one thing I need to say at this point is when we look at evolution, we need to remember that's a theory of evolution. And there are other theories. But what we know from the Bible, that this world, this creation, the heavens and the earth were ordained by God. They were ordained and created by God. How, we do not know. So much about God we don't yet know. But they were created by God. It's very hard to look at the beauty of creation and not see God, isn't it? To look at the planets and the stars and the infinite size, and knowing that we can't see to the edge of the universe, the galaxies. The sun may be so many light years away, yet we cannot see that even in our time. God is an amazing God. He's, in the words of the children's song, our God is a great big God. He is bigger than our understanding. He's bigger than our ability to comprehend. And he created the heavens and the earth. I find something secure about that, that God created. The world's not an accident. You and I are not an accident. We have been created by God. And as we continue to read through this verse, we see that it says these words: now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That sense of nothingness, formless, empty. God's canvas on which he was going to do the most amazing creation that you or I could ever imagine, and then add some. God was going to do something that was going to be amazing out of this formless and empty heaven and earth. God is a great big God. And then we read that the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Right here at the beginning of Genesis, we have the Holy Spirit's presence. And if we look at the book of Colossians and John chapter 1, we also see that Christ was here in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The sense of Jesus, the Logos, being here at the beginning. The triune God already was. The Holy Spirit and Christ are not later additions to God. They are there right at the beginning of creation. And here, in this emptiness, we see God present. If you have a good look at your Bible now, between between Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3, there is this gap. We don't know what the time of this gap is. And of course, we talk about God creating the heavens and the earth in 7 days. But we have here a sense that God had his canvas before he began the work of creation. But we could just be adding something into this. We do not know how long that gap could have been. But then, as we get to verse 3, we read these words. And God said. And God said. The power of God's voice, the power of God's command, the power of God's hand is at work here. When God says, it comes to be. As I was preparing this, I was reminded also of Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel and God are having this debate over dry bones. Can these dry bones live? And God says, say to the bones. The sense that the command of God will come into being. God speaking his command for transformation into a situation. And God said. What's God said over your life? What's he said into your life that he longs to come into fruition? But God's voice is the voice of command, the voice of creation. And then we continue to read, and God said, let there be light. And then there was light. Very simple, really. God says, let there be light, and there was light, just like that. And God saw that the light was good. God brought light into a dark world. His beginning of creation was to overcome darkness. And the theme of the scriptures and the Bible story and the story of you and me is God bringing light to overcome darkness. Bringing light to dispel our doom and gloom. Bringing light. Jesus himself was described as, I am the light of the world. The sense that Jesus was going to redo this whole creation thing of bringing light where there is darkness, hope where there was no hope. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God says to you today, into your darkness, let there be light, and there will be light. As we conclude this sermon, we're going to pray. And as we pray, we're going to be thinking about the theme of light overcoming darkness. Where is it you want to see light come into your life today? Where do you want to see light bursting forth? Where you long for light to come? God saw that the light was good. And then it continues, this verse, that he separated light from darkness. God separated light from darkness, that sense of bringing out and putting darkness and creating night and day and starting to bring around a cycle of life. From the chaos and from the formlessness, already there is a rhythm and something beginning to take shape. Order from chaos. When you read the creation story, one of the things you might notice is God's repetitive, or the repetitive phrase, God saw it was good. God saw it was good. Because God is a God who creates good things. And to you, the coming of light into your darkness, the story of Christ coming, entering the world as light, is one that is about separating light in our lives from the darkness in our lives. The darkness being overcome. The day darkness, the night being taken away, that we live as people in the day. This is a biblical theme that the Bible's going to come back to so many times, and the imagery of light. And God saw that it was good. And as he brought chaos, order out of the chaos, as he brought the sense of the dispelling of darkness, God was continuing that work of creation that was about bringing perfection, beauty, loveliness. And then we can continue reading. And then there was evening. And then there was morning, the first day. This first day wouldn't have happened without morning and evening, sun and darkness, light and dark. This was the first day. Anything that had been before had not been a day. The whole sense, and then there was evening and morning, there is a sense of that is the rhythm of creation that God has made. The darkness, the light, the cycles, God has now started the world spinning in its orbit. The sun doing its job to bring light, the moon reflecting that light in the darkness. The sense that God is doing, bringing around something that is going to go on for millennia and millennia. Of course, sometimes we get hung up on that as being a 24-hour period or whatever, and we don't know. And the question we come back to time and time again, did God create the world as the Bible says, or as evolutionists do God? And I want to ask the question, do you believe that God could create the world in 7 days? You see, we spend a lot of time in prayer and we pray for miracles, we pray for God's will to be done. But the question is, how big do we think our God is? Is there anything impossible for our God to do? Or do we believe in the all-powerful, almighty God who can do more than we can imagine, can do infinite things that we could ever imagine? I want to say to you, the God who created the heavens and the earth could have created it in 7 days. That would be no problem to him. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. He brought something out of nothing. He was there at the beginning. And do you know what? The biggest problem you can face is nothing to what God has done in the past. And the question I have for you today, as you think about the very creation of light, where do you get light from where there is no light? If you think about the explosions in the sun that keep that sun burning, how could you get that from nothing? Right back in the beginning of time, there was nothing. But God created. And God sent a rhythm of things into pattern that you and I are going to enjoy all these many, many millennia later. That is a powerful God. And the Bible tells us about that God. That Bible tells us about the great God who can do the mega magnificent things, yet has a heart for the care of the individual. Right back at the beginning of time, the relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden, to this journeying with Abraham and the story of Joseph and the saving of Moses in a basket in the water when a mad person is trying to kill all the Hebrew children. And you get this time and time again. This is the power of God, but working also in relationship with the individual. And friends, I want to say to you this evening that the God who created heaven and earth, the God who made light out of nothing and separated it from darkness, that same God is the one in whom we proclaim and we worship and we magnify, and who is infinitely interested in you. And if you want the details of your life and your heart cries and pain. The other start of this story is when God gets to the end of creation, and we'll see that in a few weeks' time. He looks back and he says, "It is good." And we know that that which we made is good. We, human beings, destroyed. We polluted. But Jesus came to bring around a restoration of God's world. And Jesus talked about the coming of the kingdom of God. Earlier in this service, we prayed the Lord's Prayer and we said, "Your kingdom come." The kingdom of God is one where everything is back in the order which it should be, where things have been put back into place, where God's rule reigns again, where light overcomes darkness. Where are you? Where is your relationship with God, and where do you see God? As I said, the Bible starts with that very phrase, "In the beginning, God." And I want to ask you this evening, do you know that God who was there at the beginning, who is with us now, who said, "I will never leave you or forsake you"? Do you know the God who is dying to have a personal relationship with you? A God who actually created the heavens and the earth, and he created you. He made you. You're not an accident. You are as created as light and darkness. And God wants to bring to you light. Maybe you feel you're living in darkness today. My prayer is the light of Christ will reign. Let us come to God in prayer. And we're going to pray for ourselves. Earlier in the service, we prayed our prayers of intercession. We're going to pray for ourselves. And I'm going to use the refrain, light shining through our darkness. And then I will pause. And in that moment of pausing, receive the light of Christ into your life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a creator God and a God who is into recreating and restoring and refreshing. Lord, we come now. And we come, Lord, recognizing that we have failed you and failed ourselves. And darkness has overcome. Lord, may your light shine through our darkness. For our minds that have believed all the negative things that people have said and that we have said to ourselves. So darkness fills our minds. May your light shine through our darkness. For our feelings, the feelings where we feel despair and hopelessness and hurt and darkness overwhelms us. May your light shine through our darkness. For our physical bodies, where they let us down and we feel a sense of darkness over all of our physical way of being. May your light shine through our darkness. And our relationships where negativism has got in the way of good, and we have hurt you and hurt one another. May our light shine through our darkness. Light of the world, shine in us and dispel our darkness as you did on that day of creation. And Lord, may you be able to look at us as light overcome and say those words, it is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have that well-known hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. So thank you for being with us at RBC this Sunday evening, and we pray God will be close to you. May his light shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. And may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.